Hola, ¿qué tal, mi gente? Welcome, bienvenidos, as I am so excited to share this episode with you guys because we are in season 3. This is episode 6, and we're learning about storytellers. And storytellers describe many times the social and cultural activity of sharing stories. Sometimes we improvise, sometimes there's even, you know, theatrics, as it's been said before. But the beauty, as we are celebrating Latino Heritage Month, cada cultura, every culture, has its own stories, historias, its narratives, which has, like it's been said, are shared as means of entertainment, education, just preserving that cultura, and even inspiring the next generation. I am so honored that this conversation that I have in this episode with Rene, who's executive pastor at RLA Church here in Los Angeles, California, gives us a glimpse of what it is to be a community leader, what it is to work within a faith-based organization, what it looks like as he honors the past of his storytellers within family to the present moment of serving and validating the stories of its community. And the beauty of it, you guys get to hear this firsthand, because these are moments that many people ask me, Noan, how are you such a good storyteller? A big part of it is conexiones, is the connections and networking. And you guys are going to see how we met. It'll be in the middle of the interview. It's kind of a funny way how we met. But ever since then, it's been a friendship of learning what it looks like one storyteller to another storyteller. Y como siempre, te doy la música. And welcome to this new episode. Look, I hope you can share this with somebody, because I know a lot of you are going to get a lot from this conversation. So, in 3, 2, 1, dale con la música. Gentlemen, señoras, señores, I am so honored. You guys don't understand, God answered my prayer, and I have the interview that I've been seeking out in 2021. So with that being said, I want to say welcome, Rene. I'm super happy that we get a chance. So we had a little off the air conversation. That was really good, just to kind of set it up. But for those that don't know you, I gave somewhat of a brief introduction on the intro. But tell us a little about where you're from, who you are, and yeah, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, well, my name is Rene Molina, and I'm 29. I think I'm 29. Sometimes I forget. I think I'm 29. I'm born and raised in LA, born right by downtown, raised in the suburbs of LA, married to my best friend, my wife. She's from the hood. She's an OG from LA. So we kind of, I bring the suburb like side of LA, she brings in the hood, the inner city,
and then we balance it out.
Yeah, we balance it out. And so, married to my best friend, and then, you know, I'm a nerd. I'm working on my PhD in organizational psychology. I have a passion for healthy organizations and specifically, I'm going to be doing research on nonprofits, on why they work and why some don't. And then obviously as a pastor, I serve as executive pastor at Restoration LA. Some consider it, you know, one of the largest Hispanic churches in LA. And we think that's pretty cool, but that's not where our heart's at. Our heart's at, you know, there's still much more work that we need to do, so many things we need to do work on. I'm second generation church leader. And so that has its own story.
Yeah.
And so that's a little bit of me. I love sports. That's my therapy right there. My therapy is watching sports, Dodgers, Lakers,
amen.
Real Madrid, you know, soccer, U.S. soccer, Olympics, like you name it. I'm a sports fan. Rams, of course. And so that's a little bit of me. My background is my parents. My dad is from El Salvador. My mom's from Guatemala. And so, you know, I'm a mix. And I love my USA. You know, I love my America. With all its imperfections and glitches. But so that's a little bit of me.
Awesome. Yeah. I love it. I think that when people understand, so again, when, you know, our focus here is always understanding cultura, faith, yeah, conexiones. And for me, you know, in this season, we talk about storytellers. And I think that for me, what's really unique is that we're celebrating Latino Heritage Month.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And I think one of the biggest stories have always been the stories of men and women that of, you know, Latino, Latina descent that have made a huge impact. I truly believe your father, your mom, mm-hmm, have made a huge impact in L.A. when mm-hmm it comes to the Latino community. And I just want to say thank you on behalf, because we may not attend your church, but your guys' impact that you guys have done specifically during the pandemic, which we'll get into that, has been really huge. I also know that you are an avid reader. I'm an avid reader. You love philosophy. You're really into philosophy.
Yes, yes.
So I know that you understand the power of storytelling, right? And I think for us as Latinos, the biggest thing that we understand is that we have tíos, tías, abuelos, abuelas that know how to tell great stories.
Yeah.
Right?
Master storytellers.
Right? Like master storytellers, yeah, that we get a chance to learn from them. And so I want to know for you, who comes to mind when you think of amazing storytellers? And it can be in any capacity, right? But who comes to mind that you think are really great storytellers for you, and why?
Yeah, that's good. I could go honestly from on a personal level. You know, I think my dad is a great storyteller. Man, that man could tell stories. He could, like, you're listening to him and it's like you're watching a movie. Like, this man could tell you the feel of the climate of the moment and the emotion of each person. He could change tones, a voice. Like, just, it's just amazing how, like, my dad could just tell these stories. And so my dad is definitely one of them. I love hearing stories of my grandpa, my late grandpa, from my mom's side. You know, he, like, I just love hearing stories. And it's so amazing because there's so many things that happen to us without us comprehending.
Yeah.
And then we kind of feel the effects. Like, we don't know the process. We don't know how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
But we just kind of, like, are amazed by it. And so what I'm trying to say is, hearing stories of my grandpa, I'm like, oh my goodness, like, these stories are literally, like, doing something deep inside of me that I have no idea what's going on. But I do feel like these stories of my grandpa are, like, the way he used to be a station director for the train in Guatemala, like, the way he would love to read, the way he would tell people, like, man, you're so misinformed, man, you need to read more, you know, you think that because you haven't read the newspaper, like, stuff like that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I guess it's in the genes, you know, this yeah desire to read, this desire to, you know, so kind of you get to know where you're coming from, because these stories, they show you that no one comes out of no one's from what do they say, in a vacuum. No yeah one's story comes out of a vacuum, you know. We all come from some story, you know. And so my dad, my stories of my grandpa, hearing them from my mom, you know, if we want to go a little further, you know, like, I'm a big fan of Abraham Lincoln. You know, he was a master storyteller. Like,
a lot of people don't know that.
Right, yeah, right. Lincoln was, he had a story for everything. Like, you know, and something about our generation today is we're not crazy about stories in a sense, directly, explicitly. I feel like we just want the facts and we just want to get on with our day. But, like, when you tell grandparents or past generations, you ask them a question, you're looking for the facts, like we're used to searching on Google. They're like, oh, that's a great question. I remember this one day. And it's like, I just want, just tell me the answer. And it's like, well, no, the answer's in the story, you yeah know? And so yeah, Lincoln was a great storyteller. Someone that I love, sports person that I love, that's a great storyteller, his name is Colin Cowherd. Mm. He's a master in, like, radio and podcasts. And so Colin Cowherd, he's great on stories. You know, some people that some might not know is Adam Grant. He's a great storyteller. It's like you're kind of going to his living room and hearing stories of stories on stories on stories. Richard Mao, one of my biggest mentors and professors. He has a story for everything. And then I think the greatest storyteller of all, Jesus. You know, I think he's kind of like Lincoln in that sense of He was great at telling stories. So when it comes to who are great storytellers, this tradition of people that come to my mind of storytellers, just master storytellers, like you're just like watching a TV show, like The Sopranos, but a person is telling it, you know, Breaking Bad, but one person is saying the whole thing. So that's what comes to mind.
I think it's interesting because it's such a like canvas of storytellers. I appreciate that you bring, front of mind is really familia, right? Like, and I love it because I know, like for me, my abuela was an amazing storyteller, yes, right? So, yes. And you do feel the struggle. You almost imagine something. Like I remember when she was sharing with me a story, I imagined it in such a different heightened moment that when I actually went to the location to visit, it wasn't as bad as what I thought. I'm like, oh wow, she really sold me on that. But I think it's really, really the intent of the story that she wanted behind it, because then I realized, oh, I see the deficiencies of the neighborhood because of the people or the system or whatever that looks like. So with that being said then, what do you feel when we think about, because people, I'm a storyteller, you're a storyteller. Mm-hmm. A lot of people ask me in my professional work, even in community, they're like, man, how, like, what does it take to be a good storyteller? Sometimes that's hard to kind of like give the answer to them. It almost stumps me in a way where like now I'm not that good of a storyteller, because I have to kind of like, I'm not saying that I'm sharing my secrets. It's just, I think we're just kind of born. Like you said earlier, it's in the DNA in a way, right? Of like certain things that we do. I want to know for you, what do you feel is most important or the most important characteristic in being a storyteller? And it could be in any capacity, but what comes to mind when you think of that for our listeners?
Yeah, I think, you know, you hit a good point. You know, it is in us to love stories. You know, I even there's this book called The Biology of Desire, and he's a neuroscientist, and he says that literally, like, this is scientifically, like, completely analyzed, our brain. Like, this isn't our soul, our spirit, our society. No, our literal brain, the one between our ears, was wired for stories. Like literally the way our brain works is for stories. Like that's literally the way our brain works, you know? And so we love stories, you know? Like from young to old, we love novelas, we love biographies, we love our shows, you know? And I think part of it, one of the characteristics that I think a great storyteller needs is patience. You got to let the story bake, you know? And I think that's what our abuelos and our abuelas, they were great at. You're like, no, espérate. I'm not done yet. Like, the best part hasn't come yet. You know what I mean? And it's like, come on. Like, I could just Google this, you know? Yeah. But it's like, no. It has to be. So there's this importance, and there's a different society, you know? Our generation, past generations come from a more collectivistic culture, you know, more about the society versus us here, very more individualistic. We just want the facts, get moving with our day, you know, very short term.
Yeah.
Our grandparents are a little bit more long term, you know, they remember their phone numbers, you know, they remember everyone's phone number. And us, like, we can't, it took me almost 5 years to remember my wife's number. Like, it's bad, you know? So I think that patience to let the story bake, you know, let the story just let it cook, you know? And I think we have this idea of story through Instagram, you know, that's kind of shaped our imagination of story that, you know, but social media is just part of reality. So I think we got to let the story bake, that there's more to the story than what we are used to seeing in our social media world. There's a lot more to the story. So patience, that there's highs and lows in the in our story. Also, I think part of being a good storyteller is knowing the arc. You know, you got to know the arc. You got to know that this character, like, it's not always going to be rainbows and butterflies. Like, no one wants to watch a story or listen to a story like that. You know, you got to know the arc. You got to know that the arc. And I actually did some digging on the origin of the word story. And it comes from, I wrote it down. It comes from a connected account or narration of something happening. So our story is kind of these plots, all these plots, and the story comes when we connect these dots, and we connect these dots in our story, in our life. And so I think you got to be able to find a way. So patience, and then another one, find a way where you could zoom out and zoom in.
Yeah.
You know, I think some people are just too zoomed in to the story.
Yes.
You know, and we could get lost in the details.
Yeah.
What they say, paralysis by analysis, right? Yeah. And then we need to learn to zoom out. And we're like, wait, but this is part of a tapestry. You know, this is actually beautiful.
It's funny you say that because I've said it before to, like, you know, some of the young people, like, it's like a piece of art where, like, you're so zoomed in, you just see the cracks where, you know, God says, no, zoom out. Look at the beautiful mosaic photo of your life.
You know?
That's a really good point that you bring up.
No, yeah, there's this book called by William Ury called Getting Past No. And he talks about this idea of the balcony view where sometimes, like, we could just see this tile and kind of be like, this tile is pointless. Like, what is this tile doing here? You know, but once you get on the balcony, you kind of see that tile is part of a beautiful work of art, you know? And so I think sometimes we could either be too zoomed in and find things meaningless, you know, but once we take a step back, it's like, no, this is part of a story, you know, and if we let God, we bring God into it and we bring, you know, let him write our story. Like, it's just, it makes sense, you know, and that's what our brain is wired to make sense of things, connect dots. But then there's the other extreme where we could be too zoomed out, you know, and we could be too like, well, you know, there's meaning to it and well, it's all going to work out, you know, but it's like we lose when we're zoomed out, we're kind of disconnected, you know, and we're not so invested. So I think being part of a good storyteller is knowing when to zoom in, when to zoom out. And so, and it also takes practice. The third thing I would share is it takes practice.
It does.
Like, you got to learn the art. Our grandparents, they've been doing it for years. Like, they know they're masters because they've been telling stories forever. And so I think those things will help us become better storytellers.
That's good. Okay, so you set it up for the next question I have for you, because you talk about zooming out too much that you could disconnect from the moment. And I think one of the big things for you that I've seen is that you zoom in a lot. And I think the beauty is, and in a good way, I think about, for me, for you, the work that you do, many don't know if you don't follow RLA, but it's... You guys have done some things in this community. The fact that you guys have a banner that says Black Lives Matter on a Latino church, you know, Eli, our producer, noticed that. That's powerful, right? Mm. That's zooming in on stories and connecting to the community around you. I want to know, for you, that's just one. The food bank that you guys have been in partnerships with, I want to say World Vision, right? Yeah. In the partnership that you guys have been working with them, and seeing all the families when you guys are posting and just people coming in, the COVID testing that you guys did during the height of the pandemic.
We were able to do vaccines
like
FEMA.
That's what I'm saying. It's huge. So for me as a pastor, how key is it to be able to engage with people's stories in your context?
Yeah, I think as a community leader, as a pastor, as a however you want to label, you know, nonprofit director, however you want to put it, I think, you know, we've been able to partner with the Red Cross, with World Vision, with FEMA, you know, with you know, other big organizations, because at the end of the day, I think it comes down to just what we're about is serving, and I think if you really want to serve your community, you got to zoom in. I think the stories, when you validate a story, you're validating people's humanity. And I think that is one of the most spiritual things that we could do, is validate people's humanity, normalize people's humanity, and get to know the story of, you know, Elena, get to know the stories of Miguel, get to know the stories, and being able to find that, because that's where the rubber meets the road. And so we're big on getting to know the normal stories of people. And we're still trying to learn how to better serve our people's stories. And then we also try to learn to read people's stories on the spiritual aspect, you know? So we try to, what I've noticed is that there's a lot of churches that are either too spiritual or too natural, you know? And I think what we want to try to do is we want to try to zoom in to people's stories to the point where we validate, they feel like we validated their story, you know? And it's amazing because, to me, it's kind of incredible because people are like, wow, you have no idea how much of a game changer this is. Like, okay, wow. Like, I'm not aware of how simple and how powerful it is to just validate someone's story by listening to them. And so I think as a pastor, I think just validating people's story, listening to them, you know, that's one thing that comes to mind. I think as a pastor, it's natural for your story to be highlighted. Like it's almost automatic. You know, the pastor's story is going to be highlighted. The pastor's family naturally is going to be highlighted. That's just the way the dynamic works. And so I think we need to practice kind of the opposite, you know. All right, well, naturally our story's gonna have some light. Well, naturally we're gonna shine that light back to people, you know. And so I think that's something that we try to apply as leaders, is naturally the light is on your story. As a leader, that's just part of the dynamic. And so I think as leaders, part of serving our community is shining that light back to people and kind of like, hey, look, your story matters as much as my story matters, you know? And so I think that's part of empowering people is, where's the light shining? You know, what's getting out? And so I think we need to shine that light back to people and validate their stories, because when you validate their stories, you validate their humanity. And you know, some Christians are more spiritual than Jesus, you know, like Jesus validated people's normal stories. And so I don't know if that
No, it does make sense, because it kind of bleeds into my other question of like, you know, how important is it for you to serve your, and just because, you know, I want to highlight, since we are in October and, you know, we're going to be dropping this episode, I don't think people understand there's many leaders out there that serve in faith-based organizations that do make impact. And you're right. The past, there's been unfortunate situations. There's been almost like a bad rap when it comes to churches and its community. But what Absolutely. I think for you guys is that your family, you know, you and your wife, like, what you got, even your team here, what you guys have done to be able to like serve and validate and even highlight stories, like people don't even know. We literally met 4 years ago at the Panama City Airport.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's how we actually met. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. With my cast. I forgot.
Yeah, yes. I remember.
Yes, I did have I had a broken...
I did break my leg.
Yes, I did break my ankle, and I wore this cast the whole time in Panama City. But it was interesting because we were at the same conference. I was serving from a capacity on behind the scenes, and I didn't even know... I mean, I ran into your dad, and then we're in the airport, and then all of a sudden we like kind of like oh made LA yeah we made it official like yeah. Oh LA LA at and then the I met your sister and it was amazing. And it was then when I got a chance to really see a Latino family of men and women, which your sister's a whole nother story as well, even your mom, like the women in your family,
that's a story right there.
Just I mean, yo, shout out to Mark, like they're just doing big things, right? And her and her family and her husband. So I think for me, how important is it for us as Latinos, as Latinas, to be able to like give back to our community? Like for you, like what does it mean as a Latino leader within the community to be able to give back to everyone? But I say in highlighting the stories of like just Latinos for the month, what does that mean for you? I know that's a little add-on one-off for you, but I just know that the amount of work that you guys have done, it's really big. And I know you guys are real humble, but I don't think we realize, like, you're probably raising the next generation of leaders just by your guys' example. So what does it mean for you to serve the Latino population here in LA?
That is a really good question. I think, honestly, the way we are serving our people is by rethinking what is the church. I think by rethinking it, what is the church? What is the church supposed to do? Like, what, redefining church in America for minorities, like, what does that mean? What does that look like? And so I think going back to the drawing board, going back to scripture, going back to the basics, what is the church? Is it a Sunday kind of, you know, production show, you know? Or is it an entire human machine that lives and eats and sleeps serving the people around them? You know what I mean? Like, are we really making our community better? You know, because that's in back to basics, you know, in scripture, Jesus says that his followers are to make their environment better, period. And so our church is doing that, you know, and so asking those tough questions, like, what is the church? What are we all kind of revolving around? Sunday production show around a personality? Like there's a lot of places like that that aren't churches, you know? So what makes churches different? And I think that is my answer to your question. You know, I think the future of the church is a church that is obsessed with serving its community. Like, I think that, like, instead of a personality production show, it's a machine, a human machine, not a cold one, a human, warm, loving machine that just lives to serve its environment, that is light in the world, that is salt in the world, that makes its environment better, that makes, you know, produces more jobs, produces more food, produces better experiences, produces good vibes, like it produces blood banks. Like, you know what I mean? And so yeah. I think to answer your question on how we're going to serve our people, I think it's rethinking the church. I think it's rethinking, redefining it. What is the church? How is the church defined? You know, and I think churches that serve their community and keep Jesus as the center as they serve their community and finding the needs, because God, I believe, speaks through the needs of the people. That's where God's at, is through the needs of the people. And so if we create a church, if we could build a church that revolves around the needs of the people, that is built on the needs of the people, logically, that church is going to be essential in the community.
Yeah.
You know, but if a church leaves a community, was it ever a church? You know, if a church leaves a community and the community doesn't recognize or doesn't see that there was a church, oh, that church left 5 years ago? Oh, I didn't even notice.
Wow.
Was it ever a church? Yeah. You know what I mean? And so I think it needs to be, we need to rethink the church. We need to rethink the way we operate our budget. Why is our budget all going to Sunday service? Like, why? You know? And so I think the heart of a church should be serving its community, like, simple as that. Well, yeah. Renee, you're making it more too, you know, humanitarian, philanthropic. Do you know what the word philanthropic means? Love of humanity. We should be the models of loving humanity. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
And so I just think we need to rethink what the church is in 2021. And I think that way we could serve our community. And so that's to answer your question. Sorry for going long.
No. Don't be apologizing, yo. Right. This is the Renee show right now.
Yeah,
we just want to make sure people understand the perspectives that, here's the thing, there might be other like-minded people like you, right? So maybe you're stirring up another leader out there, or maybe someone who's never even thought about, you know, being someone vital in the community. Because I think of it like this, like Ruslan, you know, yeah, hip hop, 2020 hit, pandemic, became a YouTuber, and he was like, I want to build generational wealth to be a guy that says, hey, I see what you can do in a city that needs a church to be essential, be that blood bank, right? I'm going to put money behind you so you can plant there, right? But his whole thing is, to what you're saying, we need to rethink this model of church. So if there's anybody out there and you resonate with this, look, you're not alone. You're not the first nor the last. There's other like-minded people. And I think that's why Conexiones is so important, to be able to have that, because when you put yourself, I always say it, in order to be great, surround yourself with greatness. And I think that the more like-minded people you have around you, then that starts seeping in to be able to build these moments that we're seeking out. So what advice then do you have for those storytellers? We said it kind of earlier, the characteristics, but you mentioned practicing. I loved what you said right now is understanding of being essential. I think that's huge, man. The amount of churches that have closed in 2020, and it's interesting that a lot of cities don't even feel that they left, right?
So was it ever a church?
So was it even a church, right? I think for me, it's like, why weren't they validating stories, right, in the beginning? So for me, I think about this. Okay, what advice would you have, you know, for those that are seeking to be better storytellers out there? And this can be in any capacity, but if there's something that really resonates for you that you think somebody can get a lot better, like what advice do you give them that they can be able to be that great storyteller?
I think to be a great storyteller, you need to be a great listener first. You like, if you know, we are, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. You know what I mean? Like if you want to be a good storyteller, you need to be a great listener, because leading starts with listening, period.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, sorry that I keep going back to Jesus, you know, just, he was a genius, and he asked a bunch of questions to people. You know, like, are churches asking questions, or are we just out there handing answers, you know? And so I think to be a great storyteller, you need to be listening. You need to be asking questions. It's what, you know, some organizational experts called being Socratic. Yep. Socrates, you know, he was known to just ask questions. Almost everything he said was a question, you know? And so I think to be a good leader, you need to be asking questions. What do you need? What do you feel like we're doing wrong? What resources can we provide for you? I think organizations, nonprofits, we need to be in communities asking questions instead of just, you need this, you need that, you need this, you need that. Okay. Like, do we know how complex people are? You know, people are very complicated creatures, you know, and when you bring that complicated creature around a bunch of other complicated creatures, that's a very complicated community. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so you can't just blanket and be like, they all need more money, they all need more so I think we need to be listening and asking, what are your most urgent needs? What do your children need? What do you need as a single person? What do you need as a couple? What do you need? And so or even kind of going straight into people's stories, kind of ask people, what was the moment you felt most alive? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What was the moment you felt the most drained? You know, and you could kind of, and stories will start coming out, you know? And some people will be easy. They'll bring everything out, you know? But some people, you got to do more digging, and you got to be like, all right, but how did that make you feel? And so I think one is, number one is probably, is just listening. You just need to be listening. And then two, like, as you listen, I love journalists. I'm a big fan of like very prestigious, like journalism and world-class journalism. And I just love that attitude of getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And I think that's what we need to do. I think a storyteller is almost like a journalist. Like, okay, but can you explain your sentiment on, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, can you explain how you felt when so-and-so happened? Can you tell me your story, please? And I think the art of asking questions is also tied into this. You know, we need to learn, like, kind of, there's an art to asking questions.
There is.
You know, like, do we ask an open-ended question, a closed question? You know, do we ask a question? Are we trying to get somewhere? Or do we just want to, are we from a blank slate? And so, I think that's why I love philosophy and theology, which are siblings. I love them because they're kind of based all on questions. What is life? What is life with God? What is life? What is marriage? What is, you know, church? What is, you know? And so I think that side of overthinking things is good. Sometimes it's not good, but sometimes it is good. And so I think just having that heart of seeking to understand and kind of not judging people quickly, because I think that's probably the third thing that I would share is part of being a good storyteller is not being judgmental, is understand people are complicated. Like, people are very complicated. We're very multidimensional, you know, and we gotta seeking to understand people. I wonder why they behave that way. I wonder why they said that. I wonder where this comes from, you know, kind of that question. So I think those are some good qualities of a storyteller.
Man, that's so good. For the sake of time, I just want to say thank you, man. This has been This has been just as helpful for me as I know for our listeners. And I think it just validates a lot of it. Look, when I'm literally putting him on the spot, ladies and gentlemen. When I think of an example of someone that understands cultura, faith, and conexiones, it's you, bro. This is why you were my most sought after interview for this particular season, because I think you really understand. And I think this is why I wanted to present our audience. Look, I'm okay with you going back to Jesus being the great. I agree. Jesus is the greatest storyteller of all time. He understood the Gentiles. He understood the Jew. Like, he understood how to talk in parables. Like, he understood his audience, right? I think a lot of times it's like you need to know your audience in order to drive a point home. But the only way you do that is by asking the questions, being connected, right? Understanding their story and validating them. That's why I know that this was the right interview and for this particular season around storytellers, because I wanted to have someone from a pastoral context, but even that, I mean, you're just a student, you're a husband, like you're someone that serves LA. You serve LA in general, you know? And I think for me, that heart is why we need more people to give back to community. You want to be a really great storyteller, serve your community, because you're going to learn a lot. And I think that's why I really appreciate your time being here. Look, we came here on site. I got to give props, man. I saw you guys are building something out there. So before we ask how people can get in contact with you or follow you, what are you guys going on right now as a project? I know there's construction going on, stuff like that. What is about to open up for you guys here in LA?
Yeah, we are opening up our own cafe. And again, all for the community, all to serve the community, you know, and we really are putting our investments, putting our heart, our mind, our energy into not being Sunday-centered, but being serving-centered. It might sound kind of cheesy, but that's kind of our heart, is being people-centered, being serving-centered, being need-centered. You know, and so we're about to, you know, open up our cafe and, you know, we have so many dreams. Like, we want to have a counseling center, a therapy center. You know, one of our dreams is to have our own clinic, you know, for the community. You know, and you're seeing kind of a theme here. You know, we want to have have apartment complexes to provide transitional housing. You know, we want to get franchises to produce jobs. You know, and so I really think there's this sense of this stirring in a generation where we're expecting more from the church.
Yeah.
You know, we're expecting more. And so that's what we're building. And that's just one domino, you know, And so, you know, a K-12, there's just so many. I think what we're really like kind of going into is the multidimensional aspect of what a church should be. You know, because we do owe it to people.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, that's what it's about, you know? So, so to answer your question in the short version, cafe for the community, long version, that.
I love the long version because I think people forget. And I know that our Black brothers and sisters know that was the vitality of communities was the church.
Boom.
They're the ones that created education systems, banks, like,
boom.
So now we get to see this, and I don't know too many Latino center churches yet that have started those moments. I'm excited that you guys are really being those kingdom game changers, as Larry Acosta would say, right? Dr. Larry Acosta, you guys are a kingdom game changer, but you guys also have plenty of stories. Here's the thing, I say it at the job that I work at, the only reason why someone has the greatest products in the world is because they have the greatest storytellers working for them. Right. And I think that RLA Church, RLA Church is there, and I'm really excited. How can people get to find your church if they don't have a community, or maybe they're looking for a church here in LA? How can they follow you guys? And then how can we follow you?
Yeah, well, My Instagram is Renee, R-E-N-E, letter J, Molina. And, you know, we're working on even that aspect of it. How can we promote more stories in our church Instagram, our church social media, again, highlighting normal stories? And so the church is Iglesia RLA or RLA Church on Facebook, on Instagram. And so... Yeah, that's a little bit on the like the little plugs, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But something that I just dream of is having like a whole library of stories. Like that's kind of where I don't know if you've seen Loki.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah. what was it? TVA.
You know, TVA.
Like the
yeah.
whole like rack of stories, like. That's goals right there. That to me is goals on normal
people. Man, I never thought about it like that.
But yeah, man, that's, you know, and I think you brought up a really great point on the amazing Black church tradition. Like, sorry, I can nerd out on this stuff. Nohan, a writer, W.E.B. Du Bois, I don't know if you heard of him.
Yeah.
He said that the Black church, like centuries ago, was the hub. And I'm like, boom, that's it. It needs to be a hub.
Exactly.
You know, for social change. And also, man, I eat, sleep, and breathe this, Noah. So.
I know. And let me tell you, just for our audience, like, this is not the last time we're getting you on here, because I have already a framework of, like, our next season where we're going to actually, man, this is like breaking news for you guys. So if you're listening to this, this is breaking news. So our next season, going into season 4, is going to be around community. And a big part of the community is we're going to be highlighting the importance historically, where I'm actually probably going to have a few faith-based leaders from LA. Awesome. You guys got, you know, an amazing church down the street that's been a hub here in LA for years. So, you know, so I don't want to give it out yet, but there's a probability that we're going to be having some leaders. And I'm specifically looking at our Asian brothers and sisters,
awesome.
Our Black brothers and sisters, and of course, our Latino brothers and sisters. So we're going to have a round table, and that's going to be a conversation. So believe me, you will have the opportunity to nerd out. And I think it's good, though. I think the biggest thing that people don't understand about us storytellers, we're super outgoing. We have great personalities. We're all about wanting to be with people, right? We're people-oriented. But I think people don't realize that there's a whole other side to us behind the scenes. We love to read.
Yeah.
We love to listen to other things.
Yeah.
We like to write. So I think like people don't get that part. You know what I'm saying? And that's why, like, for example, I did, you know, we shared this off air. That's why I started IGTV, because I wanted to share the books that I read. Because every time I tell people, like, my goal every year, I don't know what, did I feel like if I tell you my number, because I feel you probably read way more than I do. But I always look at ideally like 20 to 25 books a year and I'm golden. Right.
So, that's awesome.
So see, that was humble how he said that. So
that's awesome.
I'm gonna leave it at that. I ain't even gonna ask. But I think that's big,
that's
right?
That's a great point, though.
And people ask me,
we're not always talking.
Correct.
They only listen when we're talking.
Exactly.
But most of the time we're not.
True. I know. It's rare. I know you guys don't believe us.
Right.
But I will also say the other thing is the variety of content. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard Renee just quote so many different people, and he's also quoted different resources. The variety of content and the variety of understanding information is to not just pigeonhole yourself to only
That's
one
a great
thing.
Point, Nohan.
It's to be very like, because people always tell me,
well-rounded.
Yeah, like they always are like, man, how did you know that? Or how do you even know how to do this? Well, yeah, because I read about it or I watch YouTube videos. Like, I'm not into watching a whole series of like a show. If I watch a series, it may take me a year to watch 9 shows, like 9 episodes.
Yeah.
No judgment, ladies and gentlemen. It's just, I ain't got time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing so many different things. But I also understand, like, you know, I have been watching Squid Games. Like, I've been watching it, all right? My son watched it in one day.
Dang.
Yeah, because he ain't got a lot of things to do. But... For me, I barely got to my fourth episode, and so for those
watching a 3-hour movie, it takes a whole week.
Yeah, no. So you guys, I just want, you know, be patient with us. We may not get into everything, but we are very well rounded. And Rene, muchas gracias, la verdad, bro, man. Te aprecio, I appreciate you. Much love to your family, your wife, your mom and dad, everyone, and really the church here, RLA. Blessings to this church. It's solamente el principio. It's just the beginning. So I'm looking forward to see what you guys do. More importantly, I'm excited to see the library of stories that you're building.
Thanks, Noan. Seriously, it's any way we could help and serve, like any colleague, your colleague, your, you know, and any way we could help, it's our pleasure, man. It's our pleasure.
Awesome.
Familia.
Familia. You guys already know. Rene, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us in this episode. This was such a great opportunity to understand the power of storytelling and understanding that it's super essential in what you do for your community, how it's inspired you within your family, and how you are really thinking as a visionary, as a dreamer of what that's going to look like going forward in the community that you serve there in Los Angeles, California. Ladies and gentlemen, that will not be the last time that you hear from him. You guys are going to get an opportunity to hear another, as I kind of broke it in the interview, we're going to be talking about an amazing opportunity of a new season coming up. But I think for me, one of the things that I took from him is understanding that for the leaders, storytelling is this action-oriented, this force of turning dreams into goals and then into results. And that's the beauty of what we've seen. And I think the other thing that I appreciate about Rene is that it gives me the opportunity to understand authenticity, right? It's crucial quality of the storyteller, that you must be congruent with your story, you know, let it be tongue, feet, and wallet. They must always move in la misma dirección, right, in the same direction. So I think for me, when we think about this and we understand that the beauty at, you know, in storytelling is that you may be at the table having dinner with family, and that's where you get started, right? But I think the beauty of this is that we always got to understand that it has to come from a source of truth. So my hope is that you seek truth, you question truth, and that you share truth. And yeah, that's what I got for you guys, man. I feel so, as they say, my cup is full. And espero que esto fue una bendición, that it was a blessing. And I hope you guys can rate this podcast episode. I hope you guys can share it with some other leaders or maybe a friend or a loved one. And more importantly, oye, sigue pa'lante, and I hope you guys can fuel your pasión and find the right resources to be able to get to the purpose that God has called you. So continue to give, continue to grow, and always, always never lose sight of why you were put here on earth. Como siempre, please check us out on FuelPasionPodcast.com. And I hope you guys get to enjoy the next few episodes as we close out the month. You know, we're not the month, but our season 3 of With Storytellers. We're going to have some game-changing entrepreneurs that you guys are going to really understand the power of branding and telling a story from a true, authentic place. Muchas gracias. Como dice mi abuelita, que Dios te bendiga. Let's kick it with the music.